Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 14th, 2019, looking at the second portion of Luke chapter 13. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what will I compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." Again he said, "To what will I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed into a bushel of flour until it was all leavened." He went on his way from one town and village to another, teaching and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the master of the house gets up and shuts the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open for us.' He will tell you in reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say, 'I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown outside. People will come from the east and the west, from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And note this, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." In that very hour, some Pharisees came to him and said, "Leave and go away from here, because Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I am going to drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the next day, because it cannot be that a prophet would be killed outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you will say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of our God. Jesus had just healed that crippled woman on the Sabbath, that daughter of Abraham whom Satan had kept bound for 18 long years. And he takes the time to teach. What is the kingdom of God like, and to what will I compare it? Verse 17, all his adversaries were put to shame. The entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things that he was doing. Verse 18, where we began today, to what will I compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed. It is like yeast, which is mixed and leavens a whole batch of dough. What's the point of comparison there? That it is small in the beginning, and over time it works quietly and diligently and slowly until finally it grows bigger. The same idea here, that Jesus is telling the crowd, gently of course, but Jesus is telling the crowd that the kingdom of God is not a matter of miracles and signs and wonders, but the kingdom of God is the slow and steady growth using the word of God, where souls are brought to their Savior and are taught about that Savior and grow in that faith. And yeah, sometimes the growth happens a little bit faster, sometimes a little bit slower, but the growth that we always look for isn't numerical growth, the growth of numbers, but the growth of hearts and souls, the growth of those who grow closer to their Savior, who grow deeper in their understanding, who grow more diligent in their application of God's word to their own lives. That sort of growth takes time, and that sort of growth is treasured in God's sight. And so we ought to treasure what God treasures as well, and take joy in the growth that God brings about in his own way, at his own time, through his own word. So as Jesus goes around from town to town, on his way to Jerusalem throughout Judea, the southern portion of Israel. "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" Good question. He says, strive to enter through the narrow door, because many will try to enter, will not be able to. And this is the interesting part. Verse 26, these people who are left outside, who are pounding out the door, who are wanting to get in, saying, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in our streets. And he will say, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. What a terrifying day. And what a terrifying set of circumstances. We ate and drank in your presence, you taught in our streets. How many churches and how many cities in our country don't have a Christian church? How many do? And how many Christian churches in the cities across our country actually teach what God says in his gospel? Because what passes for the gospel in a lot of circles is just moralism. It's the same gospel that the Mormons would peddle, except with a Trinitarian emphasis, of course. The gospel that isn't really good news. It's just an obligation to do better, to try harder, and the knowledge that, well, I've still got time to do my best. The Mormon idea is basically that if you do your best, and then God will do the rest. If you do as much as you're able, then God will fill in the blanks. But as much as you are able, how do you quantify that? I have 168 hours every week, and if I do as much as I'm able, there's a lot of hours during the week when I'm not sleeping, and a lot of hours during the week when I might sit and relax, and I'm not doing as much as I am able. That's why the gospel, when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that Jesus has done it all, that Jesus has lived a perfect life for you and for me, and has made you to be a new person completely on his own without our decision or action or movement. The gospel is that Jesus has done the work. The terrifying statement, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in our streets. Even those who practice Holy Communion, there are many of them, many churches that practice open communion. And on that day, what will they have to say? We ate and drank in your presence. Oh my goodness. So you see again, this is an application of what Jesus had just told in the parable, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of outward appearances, of externals, of miracles and signs and numbers and wonders. The kingdom of God is faith. And so when Jesus goes around preaching and teaching so that people will hear about him as the Savior and will come to repent. And look at the effect. Verse 29. People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. What a wonderful promise. Jesus says that he will gather his people. He will gather his elect. He promises that you will be seated with him at his heavenly banquet table in what's kind of pictured as the eternal wedding reception. That's the effect of God's word, and that's the purpose of God's word. The purpose of God's word isn't merely to set up organizations or to have this outside external growth and to be impressive in all that is accomplished. The purpose of God's word is the salvation of souls. And so when the Pharisees come and say, leave, go away from here, because Herod wants to kill you. Whether they made that up, or whether they exaggerated a little bit, or whether Herod actually did want to kill him. About all we hear from Herod is at the time of the crucifixion during Holy Week, Good Friday, that Herod wanted to see him do some miracles. So I'm thinking that the Pharisees just want him out of there and try to think of a creative way to get Jesus to leave. And so he says, go tell that fox, look, I'm going to drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. Jesus isn't intimidated. And Jesus isn't intimidated for you. Not, he's not going to be distracted from his goal and his purpose. And here we see especially his goal and his purpose to destroy the kingdom of Satan, to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and rise again for sin. That is his love for you and for me. That is Jesus building his kingdom. That is Jesus doing the things that matter and focusing on what matters and prioritizing that above everything else. Jesus says that he is going for you, and he's going to undo the devil's work. And you, yes, you, will take your place at the banquet of God in thanks and only because of Jesus dying and rising for you and for me. Because that's how the kingdom of God works. Not a matter of miracles and numbers, but of hearts, of individuals being brought to know Jesus as their Savior. You can find us at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. You could also check out our website at raisedwithjesus.com, www.raisedwithjesus.com. Hopefully this week I'll get Resurrection Maumee printed or pointed over in that direction, so you can also access us through Resurrection Maumee by the end of the week. You could also follow us at Raised with Jesus on Twitter and Instagram. God bless your day.